Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie or the continuation of a series of existing movies or IPs. My name is Freddie Wong, and is my room ready at the Continental?
That's a pretty good impression.
Thank you.
I'm Will Campos, and people keep asking me if I'm a screenwriter. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm a screenwriter. Matt, do you have one? Do you have a funny John Wick joke? You had all that time while Freddie and I were doing
Matt Arnold, and do you know what that sound is? That's me walking on eggshells right now.
A lot louder than I thought it would be.
There are a lot of eggshells.
Apparently. Matt.
A lot of eggshells in this story break.
But Matthew, well, why? Why are you walking on eggshells?
Well, I will only speak for myself. The story boys are welcome to be courageous or cowards, depending on what they would like to do this fine morning as we're all struggling to have a career. But, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the John Wick movies. You know, all respect. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to stick with it. But
without pointing any fingers, I will say that in the off mic hours at Story Break HQ, there's a lot of shit talking about the John Wick movies that goes on. And I'm not going to hang that opinion on anyone specifically, just around the water cooler. There's a lot of like, these movies aren't good. The writing's not particularly good. Come on, can you compare it to The Killer? Yada, yada, yada. So, but no, I like this because this is us putting our money where our mouth is, right? As three profess, well, I don't want to speak for anyone. But as, you know, sort of, you know, people that have been around, you know, and thrown maybe some saucy words at the John Wick franchise in their time, this is our chance to be like, you know, it's like everyone's always like, well, you do it. You write it. And it's harder than it looks. So, you know.
Well, I'm on TikTok, so I don't have to do this. I'm already set.
One of my favorite things I've ever said was I was defending Big Bang Theory to Brian Frenzy in the same way you're talking about John Wick and about how it's hard. And he's like, yeah, it's a hard thing to do. And they're bad at it. it's like, it doesn't matter that's hard. I don't need this. Like, it's like, yeah, but they're, you know what? They get paid millions of dollars to do something. They're not babies. They don't need to be told that their drawing's good. Like
John Wick, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is a series of action movies starring Keanu Reeves. He plays a retired hitman who's sort of, I won't say forced, because it really, he doesn't have to do it. He comes back because someone kills his puppy that his dead wife gave him from beyond the grave, and then he kills a bunch of people, and then they came up with two more movies where he has to keep killing people, and it just does kind of feel like he could stop whenever he wanted to.
So the two things I was going to say is, like, one, it's not about putting our money where our mouth is, because that would be just doing a good action movie like the first John Wick.
Because we've opened our mouths rented. And there's no money in there.
Just a bunch of wooden teeth.
We've opened our mouths. We've rented. We feel confident about it. But you know what?
Every time the story boys open their mouths to make a movie, a little fly flies out like in an old timey cartoon where Bugs Bunny doesn't have any money. That's the money in our mouths.
You know what? The town doesn't agree with my feelings that we're good at writing action movies. And I'm an adult, so I can deal with that. So these millionaires can deal with me not liking their movie. Secondly, our job is to make the fourth movie.
Yes, true.
And to come up with something that continues. This feels like somebody coming into a franchise to, like, you know, again, we're gonna make a good fourth movie. We're gonna try to continue the story, continue the threads, and do something that the fans like, the fans of John Wick, and figure out a way to make this good. So let's go through, like, what happens in these, because I'm sure we'll organically get into the problems that we have.
Each one of us will take a single movie. How's that? We have three of us here. There are three John Wick movies.
So we're going to do our own John Wick murderama speed run, running through the three movies.
All right. I'll do the first one, because the third one, I'll be honest, I dislike so much. I was like halfway. I just like couldn't even recall. I hate that movie.
Okay.
The second one, I pretty much fast forwarded to the action scenes.
I feel like I remember. Okay. You take one. Freddie, take two. I'll take three.
Yeah. I remember one very well. I've seen one a few times, actually. And just, by the way, just the story here is, like, we were one of the first people to see John Wick.
Yes.
That's what this episode was missing, was us flexing about getting to go to a preview screening of the movie that everyone likes that we don't.
No. I'm trying to get myself into the mode of John Wick, I think, is especially painful because this is the sort of movie we love. Mm-hmm. Like this, we're going to take our love of Hong Kong action movies, of violence, shoot, shoot, bang, bang movies, and
shooty, shooty, bang, bang,
shooty, shoot, bang, bang
like
movies with
them.
Big tough boys with big tough guns. Like, grew up with this shit. Love this. Mm-hmm. So excited to see it. And the first half of John Wick 1, I love. So John Wick is about.
I agree with that.
Yeah. John Wick is a retired killer. you know, a la, you know, History of Violence, or I mean, less people have seen History of Violence than John Wick. So if you've seen History of Violence, you've seen John Wick.
Let's go with maybe Commando as our reference there.
Commando, sure.
Yeah, Commando. John Wick's a lot like Commando.
His wife recently died, and he's all sad because his wife's dead.
Wife he left the business for, Matt, by performing his one impossible job that we never learn about.
He gave up shooty guns for a woman. You know, I've never heard the story before. And he has a dog that his wife gave him. So now the dog is kind of metaphorical for like the last bit of love and humanity that he has. Mm-hmm. And then some meanies.
Theon Greyjoy shows up.
Kills his dog. You find out that he was an ex-killer and the head of the gangster world, because it's kind of like a pseudo-fictional world where like it's run by mobsters and there's mobsters everywhere and they have coins and special hotels that you can go to.
It has a very comic book like bad guy vibe. It's not our world, really. It's a little bit heightened reality.
This is the worst retelling of John Wick I've ever heard.
Yeah, come on, Matt, let's go fucking get through it.
Jesus Christ, boys. So you know, good luck with two, Will. Good luck with number two.
I got it.
So the biggest big boy says go kill John Wick because he's super bad and he's gonna be super sad that you killed his dog. They try to kill him, and about halfway through the movie he completes the plot of the movie and kills the kid
who's the son of the big mob guy. You forgot that detail.
Yeah,
the
son of the big mob guy. And then he just like meets William Dafoe and some other people try to kill him.
Oh my God.
That's it.
They kill Willem Dafoe for helping out John Wick. And then John Wick gets extra mad and comes back and kills the big gangster at the end. And then he adopts a new dog.
Who's Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe is John Wick's friend. He's his buddy. Like, he gets hired to kill John Wick.
I was asking for the audience.
Yeah, he gets killed. And so anyway, that's the plot of John Wick 1. This is excruciating. Yep. Please, Freddy.
John Wick 2.
All right.
Go ahead.
Faster. John Wick 2, inciting incident. He gets his car back. And then, a random dude comes up to him and is like, hey, here's a plot device. You have to do this thing because I have this, like, token, and you have to do this. And if you don't do this, then everyone in the assassin world will be mad at you. And John Wick's like, nah, okay, all right.
Well, it's because the guy did John Wick a favor back in the day, and now John Wick has to honor the favor that he did for this guy.
Turns out there's more baggage than he thought. So he's like, all right, fine, I guess I'll assassinate your sister. And so he goes into like a fucking like catacomb rave, like wedding, and like sneaks up on the sister who's like taking a bath for some reason and kills her. And
wait,
whoops.
No, she kills.
Not so easy, huh?
Keep going. Doesn't he kill? Oh, that's right. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he goes and she dies. And then John's like, I guess I'm done with everything. Finally can go back to my life of driving my car with my dog, which apparently, by the way, in the middle of like the first one, that's apparently his job, like post like retirement.
Oh, doing burnouts with his puppy? Yeah,
he just drives
just
a car.
Just testing out his car in an airfield, which is like, listen, the ultimate male fantasy, the ultimate male fantasy.
As a big dog safety nerd, as someone who's always on my hobby horse about get a fucking car harness for your dog, like if you love your dog, buckle them into your goddamn car when you take them somewhere because they're like a member of your family, and if they're not, they're just a bowling ball sitting loose in the back of your car. John Wick is just doing burnouts in that first movie and slamming on the brakes super hard in his cool sports car with his little puppy next to him. Like, that puppy would be, I'm sorry for the gruesome image, splattered against the windshield at the end of that fucking car scene where he's zooming around. I'm like, be more respectful of your dog, John Wick. Anyway, keep going.
Every single time I watch that first movie, I think I'm like, does he just know someone at the airfield? Like, this is an arrangement that he has? Like, hey, I'm just gonna come by and do like four burnouts on Tuesday. And the guy's like, yeah, sure, my plane isn't there. Why not? Go for it, John. Anyway, he killed the sister. She's like some high up in this arabesque crime family bullshit. And then now guess what? Shouldn't have done that, because now everyone wants to kill him. The guy who originally told him to kill him.
It was a setup. He gets betrayed by the guy.
It was a setup. I don't know if you saw this one coming. It was a setup. And now John has to take his three guns in his car and like survive. He meets Morpheus, who is also in this movie and like is really into pigeons. It's like his old friend Morpheus. And then they're like, okay, guess what? And the movie ends with them being like, all right, man. And John Wick finally does get the guy who set him up. And it's like, cool, you think that's over? Not quite. John Wick's in Central Park or wherever the fuck. And then Ian McShane's like, yo, I bet you thought there wasn't going to be a third movie, but there is. Now every assassin wants your butt. And you got like 10 minutes. And then the movie ends with him like running with his dog. And like, the 10 minutes are going to be up. And then you're like, man, I can't wait for the third movie when everyone wants to kill John Wick. And that's John Wick 2.
Which brings us to the plot of John Wick 3, which picks up right where John Wick 2 left off. I don't think we've mentioned the fancy hotel that he's a member of. So John Wick is a member. He's like a card-carrying member of Club Med for Assassins, the Continental, which is this cool, like the sort of hub of all this underworld activity where all the assassins aren't allowed to kill each other. So he, what?
And by the way, very much a Club Med for Assassins, because the first movie, you're like, ooh, who's this cool underground hotel? And by the third movie, you're like, oh, it's a franchise? There's a bunch of them in a bunch of countries? There's a Continental breakfast now?
Oh. At the end of the movie, he kills the bad guy in the Continental. And so he breaks the rules and he's excommunicado from the whole Assassin League. And so now he's on the run. Beginning of the movie, he's trying to get out of New York. He kills a basketball player with a book and a bunch of guys with knives. And then he wants to get out and go to Casablanca for some reason. And then like he meets like his mom. Or like it's like the lady who raised him or something like that. And then she's like, all right, you can go to Casablanca. And then there's like a lot of politics about the Continental. Like he goes to the Moroccan location and meets Halle Berry and has a really racist gunfight that feels like it's a scene from 24 that they were like, this is a little too much. There's some ninjas after him. And God, I don't remember the plot.
He also has to go into the desert and like meet some rando. Like,
yeah, he goes on like a vision quest in the desert. He goes back to New York City.
My favorite part of that scene, by the way, is they're like, these elder will only appear to you when you're like about to die. And he's like, all right. It's like, can I change out of my suit? It's like, nah, dude.
Oh yeah, this is like the elder because he's trying to get forgiveness essentially so that he can come back and get his cool hotel privileges back, I guess. I don't really remember.
Yeah, he lost his gold card and he wants to get the buffet.
No, it's not the Continental. It's the High Table is like the mafia guild that runs everything. And he's trying to like, movie's about John Wick trying to say, I'm sorry, I guess, for all the stuff he did in the previous one.
They make the Continental no longer neutral ground, and then you realize that Winston, who's his friend, whatever, who's the actor, Ian McShane. This was all essentially an elaborate setup to get John Wick killed so that they could essentially reestablish the power and the sacredness of the Continental. So he kills John Wick and it's like, okay, great. The Continental's fixed and he's kind of fixed things with the High Table. So the John Wick problem is finally done and John Wick's dead. Dot, dot, dot. He's not dead. Mm-hmm. He survived the fall because he's apparently Superman, which we'll get into John Wick 4 and can't die. And he meets Morpheus
again.
And Morpheus is like, hey, I'm pretty angry at the High Table. What do you think? And John Wick says, no, I'm pretty good. I'm just going to go have a normal life.
Wrong, Matt.
Psych. He says, yeah, I'm pretty angry too.
That's the stage for John Wick 4, which is setting up. It's going to be him versus
John Wick 4 betrayed by a hotel.
Okay.
So here's the thing.
John Wick 4, my SPG membership shoots back.
But here's the thing. Straight up, like the setup outside of one, I think the setup for 4 theoretically could be the most interesting because the idea of this assassin, it should have been what frankly number 2 was, the idea of this assassin going back to take down like the entire infrastructure, the entire systemic problem that is this world makes sense. Like it's like, right, you'd be like, I'm gonna avenge my dog and my wife and just like,
yeah, it's a personal thing,
clear off my personal problems. And then the next step is like, well, I can't just do that, like there's an entire infrastructure, the fact that there's mob hotels everywhere is a problem.
Okay,
yes,
so let me pop the hood open for a second because we've teased why we're separately not fans of this franchise, and you might be able to get a hint of it from the sort of begrudging sarcasm with which we did a pretty slipshod job recapping these movies. To me, what bugs me about the John Wick films is that they fall in this so good I wish they were better category for me.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves' performance is fucking incredible. The aesthetic is really fun. I enjoy a lot of the action.
Maybe the best looking action movies, period. Yep. The cinematographer they have, this
gorgeous,
this French-ass cinematographer is like, especially on 3, it's just like really, really good looking and colorful in a way that's really interesting. So yeah, love that stuff.
To me, the second, because I agree that I think the first half of the first movie is really strong. And it's because the first movie is the only one really dealing with anything on a character level, like on like a personal psychological level that has anything to, that goes beyond just being a luxury car commercial with guns, you know, which is what they sort of like the rest of the franchise feels like, which is it's about grief, right? And it's about the dark places you go to in grief, right? So it's like at its core, it's about a someone who's lost everything and goes to a dark place.
A destructive path.
Destructive path, right? And then it builds up to the appropriate midpoint, which is he finishes his vengeance, but then like they don't actually deal with like the psychological emptiness that would come after that, right? Like, okay, so you've killed this guy. I didn't bring your wife back. I didn't bring your dog back. You're still the empty, angry, you know, meaningless person that you were when you started. But rather than deal with that, they just have him go kill more people. Now it just becomes this ping pong match of revenge where then they killed the guy he likes, so he's got to go kill them. And it doesn't really, so it just kind of phones in the second half of the emotional story. And then whatever emotional story the first one had is completely gone in the rest of the movies. Because now it's like, to me, I was always like, oh, John Wick 2, this should start with him in grief counseling, right? Like he's in group therapy, you know, like it's like, hey, my name's John. He's slurping a little, you know, styrofoam cup. And we see that he's trying to move on with his life. And then I could at least get an emotional status quo that I empathize with him as a fellow human being. And then he gets pulled back in again or something like that.
I feel like the movie is a lot, as much as I hate this term, but like they are, even though they're just actually, they're just like more like tone pieces than anything, because their plots don't really have anything to do with the emotional journey of him. And like, so one of my other favorite, like, yeah, you could do me grief counseling, but the other thing the movie needed to do is to essentially pivot the dramatic and external conflict into something that related to that. So like another movie I love that involves puppies is Equilibrium. And Equilibrium is an incredible action movie, and the first half of Equilibrium essentially hits the same point. He kills a bunch of people for this dog, and John Wick, the halfway point is he finally kills the person with the dog. Now, if Equilibrium was John Wick, the rest of the movie would just be like him running away from getting caught by the fact that they try to kill the dog and he kills more people. But no, like he puts everything on the line. He undoes his entire religion, his entire ethos. He sacrifices himself and joins a rebellion and then, you know, tries to fix things from the outside to the point where he's not certain if there's any way to fix things. And then he finally takes down the entire system. Like the conflict escalates from that moment.
Well, Equilibrium has a moral perspective.
Yes.
And John Wick does not. John Wick's moral perspective, yes, is that boring is bad and cool is good. So like John Wick, yes, is boring when he's just sitting around his house, and he's cool when he's killing people. Yeah. So like that's all that matters, right? Like everything else is like, so which is again, well, you know, like the, and even the setup for him destroying the Continental and going on this rampage, yeah, is just about his own personal grievance that he got betrayed. It has nothing to do with the morality of being an assassin, right?
Yeah, he's not looking at the Continental will be like, hey, this is screwed up. He's, you know what, it could have been like he's alive and he's walking around and he's like, man, I can't believe I'm alive, like I'm a Superman. And then he walks through, he's like trying to find a place to fix his wounds, and he walks over the dead bodies of all the collateral damage that's happened and all of his gunfights which have happened, and he's like, hey, you know what, maybe this like gangster system is like bad.
Yeah, and there's a world where 3 was, rather than going to Casablanca, the whole thing is like an escape from New York movie a la The Warriors or something like that, where he's just trying to get out of the city, and then you would do all, it's all the normal people that have nothing to do with this world that are the ones helping him out and getting fucked over by, yeah, these well-dressed, well-heeled crime people, you know?
So boys, I love the legislation of our previous movies, but we do need to focus on 4.
Fair enough.
Because what we have has been handed to us. And you bring up one of the points that I think we need to think about here with 4, because every movie has successively expanded the scope a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you do bring up, which is talked about and goes through it, which you see in 2 and 3, is the average person outside of this world there's really not a lot paying attention to it. In particular, in 2, there's a fight scene with him in Common where they start going at each other with knives on the subway. The people's reaction is like wild. They're just sitting there. Like nobody is like reacting. The average person is not reacting in the way that you would expect to. So I think they're pretty like, two assassins going at each other with knives.
You're basically an NPC in Grand Theft Auto if you're not, you know, a member of what's going on.
Yeah, you're not a cool assassin.
This phrase going back to litigating.
Well, hold on, though, Matt. I'm bringing that point up because my question is, how are we expanding the scope of 4?
You also bring us to an interesting point, Freddie, which is that we're coming in as 4, so are we going to be the smug team that's like, here's how we would do it? Or are we going to do the sort of, you know...
No, frankly, we got to take what was handed to
us. We're going to do the job we were not paid for, and we're gonna make the movie that John Wick fans want. The thing, so and look, I think every movie's gotten bigger,
mm-hmm,
kind of like whatever, but every movie's gotten bigger and has bigger action, so this is gonna be the biggest action. And there's a few, here are the simple things I would fix just straight away, mm-hmm, like here's Matt's studio notes for 4, like right away. The high chair those are not
that's the boss baby of the high table sits in the high chair.
The high table is not a bunch of fucking losers, like whatever that bad guy was in 3 that like is a fan of John Wick and is the worst fucking villain in any action movie because he's a baby, and you know, John Wick would kill him in 2 seconds and that's the final boss. Fuck you, movie. No, no. The High Table is full of the baddest motherfuckers that when they show up, you're like, oh, John Wick's dead. Mm-hmm. Like John Wick cannot beat these people. That's what I want in an action movie. I want John Wick.
One of them is straight up a RoboCop.
Yes. Yes. One of them is straight like, up like a hologram of Bruce Lee. Okay. And like, this isn't a hologram. This is actually Bruce Lee and he's not dead. He never died. He did actually infiltrate the Yakuza and he's part of the High Table now because he's the best fighter ever. And you're like, okay, John Wick can die.
So this is interesting because this is actually to me one of the interesting moments. And the latest one is when, like, because it's like Keanu Reeves can shred. Like, he's a great action star.
Yes.
Yeah. Until you put him in a fight scene with the two guys from the raid. And then, like, I'm supposed to believe that he beat the two guys in the raid when it's like, and you just see that. I mean, again, I love Keanu Reeves. I think he's great, but there is no question who is a more talented fighter. And that's anyway.
Keanu Reeves spent his whole life working on motorcycles and being a cool motorcycle guy and training on guns. These two guys spent their whole lives from like age 8 punching and kicking things. And boy, oh boy, are they good at punching and kicking
but
things.
But I see what you're saying, Matt. So here's what I was going to propose because let's to put the rubber to the road. We're getting pretty deep in.
Oh, I was going I was going to say two things are that. And then number two, I think you need to give John Wick. I think the two things are on the basic external action movie fun level, set up the bad guys as being generally terrifying and you fucking don't think John Wick can beat them, which I've never really seen in the John Wick movies.
Okay.
Number two is take the move from I need to take down the High Table and just give him a clear, concrete, emotional reason to do so beyond that he's just angry.
Yes.
I think if those two things happen, you essentially have the raid. Like, you only need two things for a good action movie, a good bad guy and a fucking clear reason why they're taking out the bad guy. So I think if we can do those two things, we can make it work.
So here's my thought. Here's my first thought that leaps to my mind. And then plus, again, because these movies are always about pontificate, like there's always a sort of like surface level posturing to like deeper culture. Right. So here's what I'm thinking is that it's like fucking the High Table. They're tendrils, right? Like they're like the Hydra. Right. You cut one head, two more are going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you beat the Hydra? Right. And I believe if it correct me if I'm wrong in the high, you cut the Hydra's head off and then you have to burn the head. Right. You have to burn the stump to keep it from growing back. Or did I make that up? Like, how do they kill the Hydra?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cauterize the wound to stop something from replacing
it. Yes, he cuts it, or it's he dips his sword in venom to burn off each head so it could not grow back. So basically, you do, John Wick is hella pissed at the High Table and wants to destroy them, right? And then Morpheus, or whatever the name of Lawrence Fishburne's pigeon character is like, well, yeah, but they're like a Hydra. And it's just like, well, how do we kill the Hydra? We have to hit each one of the heads and burn them to the ground, right? Like, one by one by one. And then that's your globetrotting fun right there. And then you do that, like, after. It's like basically I would structure it like a Far Cry game, essentially. In Far Cry, it's always like they divide the map up into different regions. You've got to take out the regional boss. And then like eventually you're going to draw out the main villain by doing this. Right. So then that would be the sort of structure of the movie. And then you do the head like the ultimate like bad guy reveals himself after John Wick has done enough chaos. And then I would set it in Hong Kong. How has these movies not gone to Hong Kong yet?
I have a pivot, but let me see what Freddie's going to say.
I think just like the Hydra. John Wick is like, I can't do this alone, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't just go one at a time because as you kill one at a time and as you globetrot on, the new person will fill in, you know, in the thing. They have to kill all of them at the same time.
Yes. Okay. So this is what I was going to say.
So that means Lawrence Fishburne, baby. Morpheus is back, baby.
No, Morpheus
is back.
I don't need the last thing I ever need in a John Wick or someone other than. Like, you can have like a partner, but I don't need a bunch of fucking losers along with them that I don't want to watch fight. You want John Wick.
Well,
but
he's
like, wait, let me finish. You pivot. This is why I've never seen a movie. Because yes, Freddie, we had the same thought. Us, like, I hate the going around killing multiple people because here's the problem. You essentially have to convince the audience that the next person is somehow deadlier than the previous person, which means that you know the previous person sucks. So it's just this like ongoing ramp up that by the end you load so many times. It's like, okay, this guy's the strongest of them, I guess. Here's the thing though. You make the movie seem exactly like that. You don't play you keep your cards close to the chest. You're like, here are the 7 people. They're in Hong Kong. They're here. We're going to go after them one by one. We're going to salt the earth. We're going to cauterize the wound. When we kill, we don't just kill them. We kill their entire house and we burn down the city so they can't regrow. Mm-hmm. You're like, fuck yeah. John Wick's going to kill 6 people in 6
days.
Yeah,
exactly. It's going to be one day. It's going to be this one day where
that one day is cool too. Like that we're going to do this all in one, like a fire sale or something like that.
The sun will rise and it'll set on the world free of these assholes. rules, right?
Okay, like, and then like they're like scheduling it out, and Morpheus
they're buying
is,
the, yeah, they're buying Morpheus, their tickets on Travelocity.
Yeah, yeah, and Morpheus is like, here's Hong Kong. The next day we're going here. He's like, the next day, you're right. You're gonna need some time because this fight is so fucking hard that each one you're gonna need a week to recover.
Also, he's like, and the problem is I can't use my points at the Continental anymore. So we need to get onto a new point system because I'm gonna be doing a lot of air travel and this is gonna be great.
So then John Wick goes to Hong Kong.
It's John Wick and William Shatner, Priceline negotiator, teaming up.
Yeah. So then 25 minutes in, you go to Hong Kong, and then they save the last guy. They're like, who's the last one? Who's the toughest one? They're like, it's this person in Serbia or whatever. They're like, okay, we'll save that one for last. If I'm still alive then, I can do anything. They're like, perfect. They go to Hong Kong. They get there. All six fuckers are there. And you're like, this is the whole fucking movie. There's no – so it's like they set it up that clearly fighting them individually is the hardest thing ever. And then all six of them are there. And it's just like the raid. It's like John Wick has all six people at the same time. There's nowhere to go. It's a trap. He's stuck in Hong Kong with them now. And it's over. Like, he's dead. Mm-hmm. He's alone. And it's just John Wick versus everybody sort of thing.
Yeah, that's cool. And then you do all the stuff too where it's like, all right, in Hong Kong, we'll give you your normal loadout. But when we go to Antarctica, you're going to need all this cool ass shit we're getting for you. Like, dang, there's going to be a cool fucking like snow speeder scene and shit. And then it's like, nah, dude, the whole movie's in Hong Kong, motherfucker.
Okay, maybe. Here's my trick with that. I feel like, A, you can't tease a bunch of stuff. It's like in GoldenEye when they tease all the cool shit in Bond's BMW and then fucking Jodan Baker just drives off in it and they didn't do any of it. Like, that was
The magic trick is you do pay all those things off. Like, that's the fun of it. It's the trick is like, okay, you've got rid of the globe trotting things. Like, oh, you're gonna go one by one. Now you've escalated it. You've essentially clarified how crazy the stakes are. You've then dropped them all on his head. And it's like a good, you know what it is? You're pulling off what video games do so well. You're pulling off the Metroid. Mm-hmm. You're pulling off you get all your toys at the beginning. You're told it's gonna be easy. And then you get fucking rocked and you're back down to zero. And you're gonna find a way to pull this off. And by the end, it's like, yeah, that's whatever special device he was gonna use in Serbia. He like jerry rigs it, you know, in the sewers of Hong Kong as he's getting attacked by three guys. And he comes up with the idea. It's like you're paying off all those things you've set up. Just you've essentially made it more difficult for John.
Okay, here's my only... Okay, so to zoom out, the TV log line is that John Wick wants to destroy the high table, right? He wants to kill all the bad guys, and he's going to do this, so there's, like... I'm also, like, I'll be honest, I've never been over the moon about, like, the Godfather himself is the best fighter. Like, I've never, like, bought that. Like, it always feels like... do you know what I mean?
But that's why he's robots. So- You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the Godfather, you know what I'm saying? Listen, if you're at the top of the high table, you got fucking...
do that, though?
I guess, I just...
Well, John Wick 1 did that. John Wick 1
did
that.
Yeah, it's like when he fights the guy at the end of John Wick 1, and it's like, this guy...
I say he's the best fighter. He's an old man that they get in a stupid punching fight.
It's just like, because here's the problem. To become the head of the mafia underworld, like, you have to be, like, it's not the same as just being, like, a big punchy guy, right? Like, it's the...
Yeah. One of the weird dichotomies that these movies always set up, and I'm not speaking just of John Wick, but in general, is that... the cool fighter guy is always subservient to the main bad guy. You see it in Hard Boiled. You see it in the Raid movies. You're like, yeah, you're either the main bad guy who you're unhinged, or you're the cool, you know, underling fighter. And so in that dichotomy, there's never a setup where you're like, well, the cool underling fighter could become the... You're like, nah, the main bad guy's made of something else than what it takes to be cool, you know, cool punchy fighter.
I mean, not to push back too hard, but no, I disagree with that. One, in Hong Kong movies, plenty of times the head bad guy is
the strongest fighter.
In the Yakuza games, they do a good thing where it's like the old man, he takes off his shirt and it's like, no, this dude got to the top of the Yakuza because he killed every fucker around and he's going to be...
That's true. No, that's true.
You're right.
I just haven't seen it pulled off very well, but you're right that somehow Yakuza, because it's the greatest video game franchise of all time, somehow pulls off that the four toughest dudes are also the dudes who run the thing. You're right.
You can also do the best fighter kills, or sometimes you do that the Godfather's a little old, so then his second in command kills him and becomes the Godfather, and now the best fighter is the Godfather.
I think that's one of the difficulties.
If you have the bureaucrat being the tough problem and your main solution for your problem of shooting, it's never going to be satisfying to shoot the bureaucrat.
So here's what this sounds like, Matt, is that it sounds like you're trying to take my favorite section of Spartan, the David Mamet action movie with Val Kilmer, and turning it into John Wick, which I'm all for, by the way.
Let me throw another angle at you again. Mm-hmm. Now I'm literally just trying to insert Moby Dick into everything I write. But can we humanize one bad guy who's obsessed with killing John Wick, like Moby Dick and the White Whale?
Yeah.
It would be like someone with essentially a John Wick backstory, but John Wick was the guy who killed, you know, like his wife, or would not. I don't want to do. Not working out. Not going to do Frigipalooza over here, but like, do you do something like that? Like, there's some sort of original. Hear me out. We still haven't heard what the impossible task was, right?
John Wick killed his cat.
There you go.
What's the impossible task? What do you mean?
In the first movie, the way they let him out of the mob was that he had to do one impossible task for the mob, like a one hit that was so insane and so crazy and so good that he.
So you know what it is? People's kind of talking about this. It's he was supposed to kill all the mob bosses in New York in one night so that, you know, those people can establish their power base. So in a way, that's kind of like his thing, but bigger now, right? It's like he has to kill all the mob bosses in the world in one night. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, dude?
Yeah. I feel like the fun thing for the bad guy in terms of other things, you want the bad guys to feel like they have like a valid, they have their own belief. Like they think they're good guys in their own story, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I don't really get much in the John Wicks. Is like what I would do is like, again, you have this interesting world building. The idea of, it's a little bit like Snowpiercer-esque where like I feel like one of the guys would be like, there's always some asshole at some point who breaks the system. And it's like, this started because crime was everywhere and there's shit going on. And it's like, look, it's ugly, but like, we got the Continental. We have rules. Like, people don't even glance at violence because they know gangsters aren't going to shoot civilians because we've had this whole system in place. And there's always some asshole that fucking tries to mix things up and thinks he's the hero. And then the world goes crazy for 10 years and we get into crazy violence again. And then people like me have to clean up the mess and fucking regulate everything.
Yes.
Again.
They point to a graph being like, there's no crime on Earth. Straight up, there's no crime on Earth.
Because we make
like,
crime
literally,
legal.
One point's like, no. Exactly. That's what it is. No, the that's why everyone's so blasé about it. Is that at some point the guy's like, oh, is this what you want, John? You want to bring crime back to Earth? And John's like, dang, you're right. And they literally are like, straight up because of the high table. Listen, these people are so immoral that it's so hard to bring this around. But this, I think, actually squares that circle. Because of the high table, gentlemen. All crime is illegal and doesn't happen
anymore. All crime
anymore.
Is illegal? So, they're the first ones to pull illegal, that dude. Off. Okay, hear me out. So in terms of a plot device, this is another thing. This is Zach, and just bear with me because this is a big Zach. What if we do?
We still haven't incorporated our robot, by the way.
Because it's like, even though we're going to give, I want to give people a movie that they're going to be pumped about, but you also want to psych them out a little bit. You want to freak them out a little bit. So hear me out. What if we go fucking Count of Monte Cristo on this, right? And John Wick wants his revenge, right? But fucking Morpheus is like, the only way you're going to convince these people, the only way you're going to be able to get a shot at revenge is if they do not see you coming. And for them to not see you coming, they have to think you're dead. And for them, if you even like appear above ground, if you even step out of this sewer hole for 10 years,
will catch you, dude.
For 10, they will, their people will find you.
Oh,
so you do
shit.
Like literally John Wick goes into like, solid
old boy style old, dog.
Self-imposes old boy style solitary isolation for 10 years while he comes up with this crazy plan to take down the mob, right? And then like we see the world pass, and then what you do,
he's just doing push-ups the whole time, dude.
He's doing push-ups and thinking and drawing charts and stuff like that, but everyone's like, he really must be dead. No one would have believed that he wasn't dead, right? And then you do, meanwhile, Ian McShane, who's now the bad guy, he's working and making his moves with the Continental. He's slowly taking over New York, and now, 10 years later, 20 years later, right? We're in the future. John Wick's got this mangy beard. And then you do that. Ian McShane is now getting his seat on the high table. He's being coronated. He's being invited to the high table. And that's going to be the timing of the hit. And then you do like, where the fuck is John Wick? And then like John Wick comes out of fucking hiding and he's ready to fucking do his hit.
John Wick killing the high table when Ian McShane's character is going to be coronated to the high table many, many years later is very fun.
Yeah.
It's like the ultimate wedding crasher. Like he's going to
come. Exactly. Right. And it's like a Count of Monte Cristo style, like revenge is a dish best served cold kind of thing. Now I at least have emotional investment because I'm like, John Wick spent 10 years in a room waiting for this. I got to see him pull it off. You know what I mean?
Literally, Morpheus comes in and it's like, John, the new PS5 came out. And then John Wick's like, no, I can't care. I don't care about that.
He places
that.
A tender
about-
kiss on a copy of Cyberpunk 2077 and says, wait for me.
That's how they find out he's alive. They're like looking through receipts. They're like, interesting. The PS5, the PS6, and the PS7 were all purchased by this one sewer. We know how much John Wick loves
PlayStation. No, that's what he comes out. John Wick comes out and then he's like, what year is it? And they're like, it's Cyberpunk 2077 now. And they're like, not yet, John. It's like, dang, it's been so long.
Okay. I like that. I'm trying to think.
Where's the robot?
Fuck the robot. I'm trying to figure out how the plot.
Matt, think about that. Before we go too much further here, we take a quick word from our sponsors. So we're going to be right back.
We've got to count some of our own Monte Cristos, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
Does our podcast deep dive into the weirdest Wikipedia pages we can find?
Yes. Do we learn about scam artists, remote islands, horrible mascots, beautiful diseases, and mythical monsters?
Yes, 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 absolutely, and yes. Do we retain any of this knowledge?
Probably not. I'm Emily Heller.
I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
We make art and comedy and TV shows and also the podcast Baby Geniuses. For the past 8 years, we've been trying to learn new things about the world and each other every episode.
But let's be honest, this podcast is mostly about two friends hanging out, shooting the breeze, and making each other laugh. We're horny, we like gardening and horses, and we get real stupid on here.
But like, in a smart way.
Yeah.
Join us every other week on Maximum Fun. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we
don't know. Okay, the idea of John Wick as an even older man coming out like 10 years later. So like what he's in is like...
But like ripped, he's though, like, you know what I'm saying? Like he looks fucking tight.
Yeah, he's been doing nothing but fucking working out.
Like just sit-ups all just day, every day.
He's got a really strong core, but flabby arms and weak legs. But you can punch him nonstop. Yeah, dude,
when he could do a front flip from a laying down position.
Okay, yeah. So... He's going to get to this coronation.
He puts the core in coronation.
Nice.
By the way, just to throw one spicy idea in there too, you do when he gets out, Morpheus is dead, right? Like Morpheus is dead. And you're like, oh no, like he must have died while I was in here. And then who shows up at the very end of the movie? Old ass Morpheus, because he did the exact same thing to keep just a fucking zag on him. You know what I mean? Anyway, keep going.
Morpheus is like alive in the... End of three.
Like, yes, like, he is. Yes, but yes. That's what I'm saying is that like, so Morpheus is the one who puts him into the hole. You know, because
he puts him in the hole. But what's fun is like you might even play. It's too bad that they had John because like they should not have shown John Wick alive at the end of three. Because the fun of it would be old man Morpheus at this coronation, and you know he's like kind of outcast. He's like it's like kind of in some of like the Roman families where it's like this guy did something wrong. He's never going to be an emperor. But you know we don't kill him, but everybody just like shuns him. So
well,
it's, like, 10 years
I guess
later,
he doesn't have to know though. You're right.
Yeah. Well, like they bring up John Wick.
Yeah,
and
I got it. You do that. No one else knows. John Wick can't even tell Morpheus that this is his plan.
Yeah,
so
dude.
The opening action scene of the movie is he's like, I'm going to go do this hit, right? Like, I'm going to go get revenge right now. And Morpheus is like, wait, you fool. And then he goes out and seemingly gets killed and then falls into the ocean and then swims down and hides in a hole by himself and is just the rat man of the sewers for 10 years while he's waiting for everything to blow over. So you do that. Like, Morpheus is this bearded, cantankerous drunk at the
end. I do not want to zag too hard on this. I do want to point out that at the end of three, that is literally what they think happens.
Yeah.
He gets shot and he falls off of a fucking hotel. Like the baseline assumption is that he's dead.
I'm saying I wish the movie didn't do the coda where they showed that John Wick was alive. I wish they just had the thing to be like, he's dead. And then like crank. And then it's in.
No, you know what it is? They go, he's dead. And then Morpheus is like, my pigeons will feed him and bring him back to life. And then you're just like, yo. And it's his dead body. And like a pigeon comes and puts food in John Wick's mouth. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? And they're like, John Wick 4 coming soon. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay, so again. Okay, I like this coronation thing.
All right, that's the new ending for three.
John Wick, even if he's old, I'm like, I'm not as an action man. I'm not like, oh yeah, I can't wait for John Wick to slap Ian McShane. like what's the? I can't wait for that old man
right.
to
you
tumble
the,
over and hurt
the,
his ankle. Like,
well,
what's
this? This is a classic Western thing. Is that there's the bad guy gunfighter, there's the black hat, right? Like, there's the again, they do this in Rio Bravo, like they do it in all the Rio movies where there's like the here's the cool merciless killer who's just as fast with a gun, right? So like, you're right, we need to invent John Wick the other one, right? Like, we need like a
Don Blick,
and they've tried to do this and it hasn't really worked. So who would be cooler and who would you buy that would be like
the second one? They tried to do Common, which was strange. The third one, it was his like best, but well, no, they killed the third. He's killed both of them in the movies.
In the third one, it's the guy who's like the John Wick fanboy who's like a really good martial artist in real life, but then they were like, I don't know why they thought it would be cool to like make the bad guy like a big fan of John Wick. I was like, okay, this is not cool.
They do the cardinal sin of like John Wick like clearly beats him halfway through the movie but doesn't kill him, and it's like, I can't wait for this end boss that John Wick already beat easily.
Could you do,
see, I still think like maybe this is too indulgent, but it feels like I want John Wick is like this
no
new
such
action
thing.
Star. It's like I want, again, to me the interesting thing is like what's interesting about this world is like I don't think there's a bunch of fat old Italian mobsters that are the high table. I feel like John Wick could have been on the high table if he stayed around for two more years at the prime, because the only thing this world respects our assassin. So like, I feel like the best, it's like Metal Gear Solid, all the bosses aren't like past their prime. They're the best fucking killers in the world. They're the sniper who can snipe the moon. Like, I feel like it's essentially Metal Gear Solid-esque, where it's like the high table.
All right,
are,
so do we make it like, do you do it up like it's all like Expendable style and it's like Michelle
like
Yeoh
best action stars in
and
the world.
Sammo Hung. Yes. And it's, you know, you get Schwarzenegger in there.
Yes.
And like, you know, you'd like the, you know, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, it's just kind of turning into
but it just still feels, I'm like, all right, I'm going to, it's either going to, it's tough because then I'm like, all right. So they,
look, honestly, like just a meta note. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard thing about this. And there's the hard thing about the Expendables, which is all of our great action stars are old now. There has not been a new breed of this type of action star. You can
arguably it's Keanu Reeves. That's the
arguably
problem.
It's just Keanu Reeves. Like Jason Statham to an extent, but they're even playing his age a little bit in the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah, I would actually say that even if they were young, the problem is the meta problem. Like you could solve it, but it's the same. I mean, not to get into Mandalorian now, but like it's the same problem that when you use actors, it essentially does the same thing as like when you just bring Ahsoka into something or you bring some character into it. It's like you no longer do the work to like introduce the character correctly in the story. It's
true,
like
true,
it's just
true.
Enough that it's like, oh, look, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, you know, he's a bad guy. It's like, OK, but like it doesn't have, it can just be the six best martial artists in the world because you want them to look incredible. The way you show them, it doesn't matter. They don't have to be famous. The way you show them is you fucking have them like they show the Tetragrammaton clerics by showing how incredible they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have one person like snipe a fly off of someone 10 miles away. You have. But here's the thing, though. This is a world not of martial arts because
that was the third
movie. This is a world of gun kata, right? It's gun stuff. So it's like, it's the fastest shotgun boy. It's the fastest quick draw. It's very Metal Gear Solid in that way, I would say.
Again, this is just the foundation. This is just the fun level. This is just where
it still
needs to come to what the...
This is not the fun part that I'm worried about. It's the foundation that I'm worried about. To me, what is missing is like... What is our version of the dog? We're getting right back around to it, but you do kind of need some sort of emotional hook. You do need something that he's not expecting.
Yeah, I feel like the high table being super strong assassins and this coordination is cool. So, like, what's the midpoint of this? Why does John Wick decide to keep... There needs to be a moment that, like, his resolve or the reason for... Again, even the raid is just an up and down, like, fucking kill the thing, but they make it about the brother, right? So it's like, what's the pivot? What's the midpoint where it's like, is John Wick worth doing this?
I think that this world is so big and crazy, it needs to be a soap opera-y kind of twist.
Mm-hmm.
John Wick's only child is being raised
by the... That's just Kill Bill 2, though.
Bad guys.
That's just Kill
like,
Bill.
It's just throwing him another dog.
So?
It's like, can you do...
Oh, his dog's puppies.
Holy
there's
shit.
One your dog had
your
a dog
had a puppy. My god,
your dog had multiple puppies.
In fact, your wife left these puppies at a dog daycare and said, I know John Wick, there's a good chance he's gonna kill that dog by accident because he's never been good with pets, so here's a bunch of puppies for him to have after this dog dies. They're like me, his love when he thinks they're dead, like his love for me still lives, like as long as these puppies are alive, his love for me.
Hear me out. Here's Godfather 3,
everybody's favorite one.
This is how you ruin this franchise forever. You reveal that his wife is still alive. And hear me out. Here's what you do. Is they were married. They had this loving relationship. She had no idea about his fucked up, horrible past, right? And then you do some Interpol guy was like, showed up, was like, oh, by the way, you're married to a fucking psychopathic hitman and everyone's still trying to come to kill him, right? Something like that. You do for some reason. She had to get pulled out, right? For her own safety. The whole cancer thing was a fake, but then she felt bad, so she sent him a puppy, right? And then you do fucking, then he's gonna go for his murderama rampage. And the first person he meets in New York as he's about to come out with his gun to kill everyone is his wife, who doesn't recognize him. And then he's like, what the fuck? Is she still alive? And it's like, yeah, you're a murderer. You've killed innocent people. I don't want to be married to you.
Okay, I don't need the movie to tell me that killing people is wrong, but I do like the idea of the wife being alive, because whatever. Clearly, we've shown that we can't do a good John Wick movie. So here we go.
Four movies in.
No, it's not that. Nobody knows who's at the high table, right? His wife is at the high table. Like, in order to get to the high table, you have to be the best assassins, and nobody can know you're still alive. So, yes, they literally go through the cancer thing, and then she's gone. She's disappeared. And, like, yes, her one act she could do when they took her away to the high table is he gave her the dog. Because, it's true. Like, she was like, we're going to get out of this profession. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, so he's right. Like, you're not betraying the idea.
I think we know that his wife was not a
She was
man.
Such a good killer that you never knew. Anyway, so can you
it's
imagine
true.
That?
Yes, you she's could
like,
basically.
She's like, It's important. Like, my love for you. Look, John, I love you, but like, world order is even more important. Like, I had to. They were going to kill you. But
can't you see what we've done, John? We've gotten rid of all crime. Don't you see? All crime is illegal now. And John's like, no, you're right.
And then can John Wick kill his wife?
Shit. Shit.
Which, by the way, as a trailer, like, you might piss off people, but like, the idea of like, it's like, John, it's like, we gotta turn back. There's no way you can take on the High Table. It's like, why? It's like, I can kill anybody.
Oedipus, essentially,
what's the
right?
One person he can't kill? There's only one person John Wick can't kill. His wife. They set up that John Wick can kill everybody. So how do you make an end boss good enough?
They knew that. So basically, because this was her play the whole time, she knew that John Wick was the most invincible killer in the world, right? And because she's like 10,000 IQ chess or whatever, she knew that someday he'd come for the High Table.
Oh my god, right?
And so then she realized that the one way to be the ultimate queen of the underworld was to become the head of the Thai Table and then be the woman that John Wick loves, because she's the one person he couldn't kill, the woman he loves.
Oh, okay, here's how you do it. This is a Tendi chess.
I have very strong, like, playing with G.I. Joe vibes with my friends as, like, an 8-year-old right now.
Yes, and here's the 10D chess move, because then you get, like, an actual good woman assassin, which we won't get into what they do with the other one, including Halle Berry's whatever character, is you do... Okay, this is good.
Ruby Rose was pretty badass, I thought. They did a good job with Ruby Rose.
The backstory of it is, yes, they came to John Wick's wife. And was like, you're going to be, it's not a choice. Like, right, you're in the gang. It's like, it was either you or John. You're the member of the High Table. And it's like, that member of the High Table means you separate everything. It's like fucking samurai. It's like that sort of like, get rid of all connections, Jedi, all connections of the world.
Worldly attachments, yeah.
So they knew, she thought like, this was the only way she could save John Wick. Was like, she pretended to die and like, don't kill John. I will join the High Table with no problems asked. Like, but like, it needs to happen this way. They're like, he's gonna know something's up. He's like, not if I have cancer. Like, we'll make it believable.
And not if I give him a dog.
And give him a dog, right? But she does love John. This is truly a love story. Mm-hmm. Because this is, she knew that eventually John would grieve wrong and would come after the High Table. But this is the only way she could get it. I feel like the end is the two of them. It's like, it's a fight. And then it's like, she's like, don't you get it, John? This is what it's always supposed to be. Just you and me in the end. It's like, now we can take down the entire system that wouldn't let us love. Like, these are two sides of
the
speculum.
So it's a double twist.
Yes,
it's a double twist.
The end is John Wick and his wife fighting the rest of the High Table. Yes, fighting the rest of the High Table as all the assassins are coming to kill these two people that are going to dismantle the entire continental system and this entire structure because there's no love in this world.
Okay,
so you can't have relationships.
Okay, so this is great.
When all crime is illegal, that's the tagline. When all crime is illegal, where is the love?
The only crime is love.
The only crime is
yes, love. Yes, yes. Okay, so this is cooking. This is cooking with gas, because here's what you do. We also plant, they keep whispering about, because it feels like this is all pretty, like, maybe midpoint reveal that we've revealed life is alive, right? So you do that. Before this, we're getting these whispers that the head of the High Table is this assassin, you know, the White Wolf or something like that, the Rooster, whatever her code name was. But you would do, no one has ever seen this assassin. This is the only person who makes John Wick look like a fucking amateur, right? Like, this is like, people know who John Wick is, right?
Yes,
like,
there's
a certain kind of bragging rights that comes from being like, I'm Baba Yaga, I'm John Wick, like, I'm the hardest motherfucker on earth. This assassin, no one even knows their name.
Yes,
they made this impossible task look like a trifle. Like, one day, like, they told, you know, the White Wolf to, you know, take out this base or whatever, and just everyone was dead the next day with needles stuck in their necks. Like, what are these? They didn't even know what was on them. They didn't even understand what the poison was. Like, the greatest assassin that ever lived. So then you do, of course,
no, dude, it's more intense than that. It's more intense than that. They're like, take out this entire base. And then the next day, everyone has died of natural
causes, right? Yeah.
Like, what? Everyone? Like, they all died of accidents and natural causes.
So then you do that. He's like, I'm going to destroy. Like, it's like, that's the problem, right? And that's why they're the head of the fucking the High Table, because the High Table, now it's like, they're untouchable as long as this person is the head, right? So you establish that this is the person he's up against, that an invisible killer. And then you do that. He's like, I'm going to kill the White Wolf. I'm going to take down the High Table. And then so you know, really understand, like, how. And again, that's why he has to go into hiding for so long, so that she truly thinks he's dead. you do the, this is where if Keanu Reeves asks for too much money, he gets plastic surgery to look like Jason Statham. But then you do, okay, so this is very good. So then he comes out, yes. And now, so the first half of the movie is him hunting the White Wolf and, you know, like avoiding the White Wolf's goons and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then it's him setting his trap, right? So like the first half of the movie is like, I'm going to set a trap. I'm going to bait them out. Right. And they're going to know I'm coming for them. And it's like this whole thing. Right. And then, of course, you do like he gets into the big building and then he pulls the gun and turns around. And who is it? It's his wife.
Yes.
And everyone screams and they go, are you fucking kidding me? And then we reveal the White Wolf's backstory, which was that
Charlize Theron, since she wants to do a John Wick. She's been trying to do a John Wick anyway.
Yes, hold on. No. They've already cast his wife, Matt. She's in the you see her on this phone.
You do a special edition. If George Lucas can do it, you got Charlize Theron. Because you need somebody as badass as Keanu Reeves. Anyways.
Yes, you do like, holy shit. Yeah, it's Lupita Nyong'o or it's whoever, right? And so it's his wife, right? It's like, oh my God. And it's like, go ahead, John, kill me. It's like, and again, it's like, you do, and then all the goons show up and he, you know, has to escape or whatever. But yeah, so the low point of the movie is like, my whole thing was a lie. My wife was an assassin the entire time, like blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And then you would do that. No, this is just step 10 of her 1112D chess move to take down the whole thing herself. Because she knew she couldn't do it alone. She needed John Wick, she needed the two of them needed to do it together, right? Or something
well,
like that.
Well, this is essentially what's great is like your back half becomes like a therapy session. The thing, like, he's dealing because he has to relive and think about the relationship with his wife. He needs to try to understand, like, how could she do this? How can I beat her? Right? It's like a little bit like zombies. He's like, that's not your wife anymore. You understand? Like, she betrayed you. It's like after he decides to, like, I'm going to go after her, he needs to try to understand her again, you know, right? And now he's like going through the relationship. Was it as glorious as he thought it was? What were their problems? Like, right? He's dealing with, it's like actually getting to the marriage stuff, because the ending would be great because it is this ultimate test for him. Is he does get to that moment, they fight and he does have that moment and he's about to pull the trigger and he can't, and that's what she needed. She's like, that was the test, like that's the only way I could be sure that you still love me, as he puts the gun down and he's like, go ahead, shoot me. She's like, I can't because you love me. And it's like, oh my God, they're together. She's like, now let's take this motherfucker, now let's burn down this whole system, you and me, baby, we love each other more than the world itself, sort of thing.
All right,
it's a somewhere in there. And then what is it, just a big blood soaked?
Well, no, now I want to be clear, what we've described is the fourth movie. They are shooting 4 and 5 simultaneously.
Oh,
so the fifth movie
saying,
is just a non-stop. Yeah,
so well, okay, we need the fifth movie. The fourth movie, yes, the fourth movie ends. I mean, good, another good thing good action movies do is like they get the climactic, like, emotional thing right before the final action scene, so you can watch the fucking hero again. Equilibrium, it's like he solves, it's like, oh shit, like when that lie detector goes off, it's like he's done,
his movie's over, but it's time for him,
his
to
movie's
just
over
kill
now we need to watch them fucking throw down. So yes, it'd be like John Wick, because you just assume it's this like really like false marriage, like there's no problem, whatever it is. It's like in this movie you really understand what the relationship was. There'd be something again, it'd be like a John McClane type thing where it's like, instead of shooting his wife, he can't do it. He puts the gun down and he says, like, I'm sorry for blank. Like, there's something that he did wrong. There's something he had to get over in their marriage. And then she puts her gun down. She's like, and it's like, oh, they've healed. Like, that's the thing. And then they get their big, dumb action scene and they kill the high table. And then the end is dot, dot, dot. You know, you cut to Ian McShane. He's a cyborg now. So Freddy gets his fucking robot at the end.
Yes.
And he goes,
Ian McShane's been a robot this whole time.
And he goes, this was the plan all along. The only way I could rule the entire kingdom is for the two best assassins to kill the high table. Because you start with Ian McShane's not allowed at the high table because he's too old.
He's too much. They're like, you're too old and you're not a cool assassin like we are. You steer into the thing, right? Yeah.
So this movie, he becomes a RoboCop and he gets the two best assassins to kill the high table. And now he's like, has an army of robots. And he's like, and the next movie
Ian McShane literally goes like, he presses like his eyeball and he's like, activate the Omega Protocol. And they're like, what the fuck? And he turns into a robot, dude.
Okay, so here's what you do. Here's what you do with John Wick and his wife, by the way, is you do the thing he's sorry for is that he never told her that about his past.
Oh.
So you do. There's a double meaning, right? So you do, at the beginning of the movie, again, like when he's locked up in the hole for 10 years, right? What's he thinking about? He's thinking that he's reliving his relationship over and over again. It's like Groundhog Day. He basically goes crazy, right? Like he's just like, he's just reliving the whole thing over and over and over again. And you realize that the pain, the grief, isn't just that he lost the woman he loved. It's that
she
never truly knew him, you know, like, yes. Because he never told her who he was. He was hiding from her the whole time. And then, so then you do the double twist that she was hiding from him the whole time.
Yes.
And so he says, I'm sorry, I never told you who I was.
Yes,
and
it's you can't like, have these lies in a relationship. They're both broken people who loved each other, but never, because of this broken system, they could never tell each other who they truly were, but they were truly made for each other.
Yeah, they were both pretending.
It's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, essentially. You've essentially backdoored Mr. and Mrs. Smith to it.
Yeah.
They were both pretending to be who the other one needed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And what's great is like in that whole trippy, like that first act where he goes into the hole is like a nice like flashback setup for like us to really lay the groundwork of the emotional story with the wife, right?
Yeah.
And then you do that. Yeah, she did, you know, like she died. And then so yeah, no, he goes out, he sets his trap. So yeah, he sets his trap, he finds out it's her, and then you know, he's gotta, you know, he flees before he gets killed, you know, and then there's sort of reckoning or whatever, and then yes, they kill the high table. You know, like you do, it's basically the church at the end. They get married again.
Oh, this is a good action scene. You know what it's called, the high table?
It's a really big table.
No, it's really high up. It's on Mount fucking Everest, dude. And they have to like take oxygen while they're fighting because there's so little air up there, dude.
And then they give each other
that's why
oxygen.
Ian McShane shows up and like, Ian, how are you not on oxygen? He's like, because I've been a robot this whole time, John.
Oh, you definitely have him decapitate Ian McShane and then the sparks come out. Here's a subversive, stupid fifth one that I would love, but everybody's going to hate this. But no, what you do is, I think it ends with fucking John Wick and his wife are king and queen of this fucking gangster kingdom, the killer kingdom. They've done it. They killed the high table, the fifth movie. Like, there's no fucking, like, they're not good people. John Wick's a fucking sociopath, and so is his wife. The fifth movie is, like, 20 years later, they are the new high table, and this world is corrupt and broken, and it's, like, it's the cycle, and you do another John Wick is, like, wants to get out of the system, and he's
it's
a
like
kill.
It's like Neo in the system. See, there's an aberration which naturally occurs, and Keanu Reeves plays Neo, who shows up.
Every person who overthrows a kingdom ends up becoming a villain in their own right to the next generation, right? So you do, because, like, what better end boss is there
than John
Wick and his wife that you've seen are invincible, and then the challenge of that movie, which we'll do someday, is to come up with a character that you love as much as John Wick in order for you want to see him kill John Wick and John Wick miss John Wick.
Wow,
we've done it. John Wick 4 and 5 cracked, everybody. Don't even bother anymore. We got it right here, straight from our minds into your and someone else's IP into your ears.
Do you think they're gonna bring the wife back in 4?
I do not think so.
No way.
But
that is
what
such a good trailer.
Do,
that trailer line of
do,
like, I can kill anybody. It's like, can you kill? Like, Ryan's like, yeah, John Wick, we already know he can kill everybody. And then like, Morpheus turns the picture around. Like,
if you put that in the trailer, people would fucking riot.
I know.
The only way to get that twist in is if you sneak up on people and hit them in the head. That is such a, you have to spring that on them and then pull it off so that they're not mad at you by the end of the movie.
Yeah. It needs to be the Empire Strikes Back. Essentially.
Here's what it is. It's either they're going to bring the wife back or they're, but can you kill your clone? And then it turns out they've cloned John Wick. And it's Keanu Reeves fighting himself.
Yeah, they tried that. Who's the one? Right? The problem with that is that it's never, you know, it's a fake fight, so it's never interesting. Like, they tried it with Jet Li, and it didn't work.
No, do you know what they do it well in? The movie's very bad, but the action is very cool. They do it well in Gemini Man. When he fights his younger self, it's fucking insane.
It's fucking awesome. It's awesome.
All right. Gemini Man 2 next week on Story Break. Thank you for indulging us. Sorry we shat on the John Wick franchise.
Thank you for indulging us on that one. And by the way, if you like the John Wick movies, that's fine, man. Everyone likes their own thing.
Cool.
Not everything's for everybody.
If you all like the same things I like, then the whole world would just have good taste, and what fun would that be?
Then where would we be?
No, of course not.
All right. Well, what's our fan art situation looking
like? We got some fnart to talk about, boys. We got some fnart. We have 2 piping fresh hot posters for Jump the Shark from our friends Crunch Rock and Tanner Kumar on Twitter. These are very fun posters. Crunch Rock's poster features a very good tagline, Survive the Dive, which I'm a huge fan of. And then this other one from Tanner is like super like 1970s, like very Jaws inspired. So well done. Thank you so much to our fans as always. And you can check out our fan art at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. Head on over to our Facebook group, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
And thank you to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network for having us on. You can find this, as well as a bunch of other great podcasts at MaximumFun.org.
They're all weirdly about John Wick 4. You know, every podcast on the Maximum Fun Network is a John Wick 4 podcast.
Yeah, there's Stop John Wicking for Yourself. There's
My John Wick and Me, Jordan John Wick Go.
That's right. It's a fully John Wick themed podcast network, MaximumFun.org. Check them out. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Chad Ellis for editing this thing. Thank you to my co-hosts. Anyway, we'll see you folks next week. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. If you're outside the U.S., a good try to buy things on Amazon giving. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And if you like the John Wick movies and you're wondering what that old black and white thing in there, that's Buster Keaton. Go check out Sherlock Jr. for a good movie. A very good movie. Check that out.
Dang. A good movie.
A good movie. I didn't say that with any inflection implying any quality of any other type of movie.
It was, the underline was clear.
Oh boy.
I think that good was underlined and italicized.
Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek? Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about bugs.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts.
No. Will you change your mind? For too many times. Over and over again. Over and over again.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.